Each evening during these bridegroom services, in the section of the Synaxarion, it tells us what we celebrate, what we remember for that day. And these are not necessarily things that are brought back to mind through the gospel reading. Our gospel reading today had Christ being confronted by many groups, the Herodians, the followers, and the political opponents who came on behalf of King Herod. The Sadducees, the religious elites of Jerusalem who controlled worship and sacrifice in the temple, and the Pharisees, the scholars who taught in the synagogues and were responsible for much of the Jewish education that people received at this time, and these three groups confront him. But we're also told that today, Holy Tuesday, we celebrate and remember the 10 virgins. This is a parable that we just glancing make reference to. So allow me a little bit of reminder for everyone. The parable of the 10 virgins, Christ tells 10 virgins who are going to wait the bride. They have oil in their lamps and they're waiting in the middle of the night, and five of them realize they probably don't have enough oil to make it through the night. And they ask if they can borrow some oil from the other five. The other five say, no, if we share with you, there won't be enough for us. Go, buy, sell, purchase enough oil, and come back. And so they do. But while they leave, the bridegroom comes, and they all enter with him into the bridal feast. And then the five come, and he says, I don't know who you are. You were not here when I came. And he does not allow them to enter. Now this parable, I never understood why on earth 10 young women would be standing outside of their friend's house in the middle of the night. And why on earth would the bridegroom come at that hour? And why didn't they know when he was coming? I really did not understand any of what Christ was saying other than his return will be unforecast. But there's so much more going on in this parable. In this parable, Christ is telling us a very real practice of the Jewish community at this time. When a young man would get engaged, betrothed, his bride-to-be would then go with her attendants and wait in her house. And the young man would go and build with his two hands, a bridal chamber, the hope of the altar that they would use for their service, and ultimately the room where they would spend their first night as husband and wife. He had to build it. And he didn't get to specify when it was done. His father did. And until his father said, you're complete, he worked and he labored. And even he didn't know when he'd be done. And at the exact moment when his father said, ah, this is perfect. You have prepared it to all of my specifications. At that moment, and not a moment before, is the bridegroom allowed to go and get his bride. So these 10 young women are waiting outside because they have no idea when the groom will come. And in this parable, it is in the middle of the night that he finishes. And instead of relaxing, of resting his tired hands, getting a good night's sleep, he gets up the moment, instant, that his father tells him the chamber is complete. And he runs to find his bride. And those five women had left. They were gone. Because they were not adequately prepared. And while the groom was preparing his bridal chamber for them to come and experience and witness this blessed wedding, while he was busy preparing, they were unprepared. And so, yes, this is a parable about being prepared. But it's also a parable about the work that Christ will do for us. The Gospel of John tells us that before he goes to his passion. He is meeting with his disciples and he tells them that I will go ahead of you to my Father to prepare a place for you. He is the bridegroom who is going into Jerusalem, who is going to the cross to prepare a place for us. And that place is his heavenly kingdom. So this parable is so much more than just something about you better be ready because you never know. It's about the amount of work and the excitement and the joy that Christ has in preparing our kingdom. That it's prepared for us. That he puts all of this labor in for each and every one of us. And that he will come back the instant the work is done. And that he will come back in the middle of the night if it need be, and most likely will be. Because that is how urgent he needs to be with us. That is how ardently he loves us. That he will not allow a moment to go by without running to find us, even if it involves waking us from sleep. And there is another thing I would like to speak about tonight is how he prepares. And it might seem a stretch, but he prepares in a way that is made very clear in the gospel. In the gospel tonight, we hear his challenge is, which is the greatest of the commandments? And he says, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And a second is like it, that you love your brother as yourself, you love your neighbor as yourself. Now that part, love your neighbor as yourself, gets pulled right out of there all the time. It's on bumper stickers and Facebook walls and little plaques that you hang in your kitchen. And sometimes we don't really think about much beyond what Christ is saying with that one phrase. Because that phrase is a part of something bigger. That you love your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart. And the line that comes after. That on these two things, hang the gospel, hang salvation. Sometimes it's translated depend. That his mission, the gospel and salvation depend on these two things, but the word is hang. These two things, love of God the Father, love of neighbor. On these two things, hang. On these two things, Christ hangs on the cross in his love for his Father and his union of will, of bowing his head in obedience to his Father out of love. Out of love for us, that he willingly sacrifices himself on our behalf. He says, love has no greater testimony, no greater witness that a man laid down his life for his friends. And so on these two things, Christ himself hangs. Love he has for his Father and the love he has for us. And in hanging on the cross, he goes and prepares. And he prepares by trampling down death and destroying Hades. And he returns. Imagine that. In the middle of the night, he returns to his tomb, which has now become the bridal chamber. So here we have the entirety of what Christ is telling us. The depth of his love is so much that he will sacrifice himself for through the love that he has for his Father and on account of the love he has for us. And in doing so, that sacrifice prepares for us our bridal chamber. And he returns with great joy to find us, even in the middle of the night. Let us live the rest of our lives in anticipation, always looking for and finding the bridegroom, always looking for and finding Christ. Because after his resurrection, he is constantly and forever calling after us, calling us to once again be wed, calling us to enter into the bridal chamber, calling us to enter into his kingdom. He might come in the middle of the night, and if we are not ready, might pass us by. So we have these two things tonight presented. The deep and intense love that Christ has for his Father and for us, and how that will drive him to find us. But only if we have our eyes open to find him, to receive him, and to walk willingly with him into his holy kingdom. Amen.